So today, I want to talk to you about feet. I know what you're thinking. Last week, I gave out treats and snacks during the sermon. And this week, you get to look and stare and smell my stinky feet. You came on the wrong week. You know, some people do have problems with their feet. Some people do have a little bit of stinky feet. They have weird arches or they have stubby toes. But one way or another, you know, a lot of people too spend a lot of money to make their feet feel good, look good. People make a big deal out of something that most people never ever really notice. But God must value feet quite a bit more than I would think, because his word says quite a lot about them. In fact, we're going to take a quick historical look of feet in the Bible. Now, there's a video series you'll never be able to buy. Aren't you excited to be here today, aren't you? But let me review a little bit from last week. So last week we talked about being a good witness to the world, somehow combining the evangelistic approach of Matthew 28, you know, go and make disciples, with the personal kindness approach of Colossians 3:12 and being a person of kindness and grace and mercy, and how we called these together, we melded these together, and we called this being missionally kind or showing missional kindness. And we gave out actually a suggested assignment last week. Each person was given a snack with a letter on it. And each person was challenged to do one of the following. Okay? So, if you go on to the next slide, there is an acrostic that spelled out bells. And they were challenged to either bless someone outside the church this week, eat or drink with someone outside the church this week, listen to God this week, learn about Jesus this week, or sent to live out your specific calling in the world. Anybody have any luck doing that? It's kind of a habit, easy to forget about. Yeah? Someone was telling me, we were struggling with that this morning, you know, and some people were saying, oh yeah, I just forgot, you know. It's hard to ingrain those new habits in us, but they're important to be ingrained in us. So let's get back to the subject of feet. But let's talk about Romans 10, 14, and 15. I want to read this to you. This is our main verse for the day. It says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So I'm going to come back to this verse in a minute. But the first thing I want to draw your attention to is that he's actually quoting here at some point Isaiah 52:7. So when you do your Bible studies, this is kind of how it works sometimes. So let's go back to 52:7 and read that verse. And it says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Okay, so when I went back to Isaiah 52:7, I went down to my sermon, you know, little study notes there, and it says, see 2 Samuel 18, 24 through 26. Okay, so we're going to forget this verse for a minute. We're going to go back to 2 Samuel 18, 24 through 26, and it says, while David was sitting between the inner and outer gates, the watchman went up to the roof of the gateway by the wall. And as he looked out, he saw a man running alone. The watchman called out to the king and reported it. And the king said, if he is done, he must have good news. If he is alone, he must have good news. And the runner came closer and closer. And then the watchman saw another runner, and he called down to the gatekeeper, look, another man running alone. The king said, he must be bringing good news too. Wow, a lot about feet. Feet, feet, feet. Front feet, back feet, red feet, black feet, left foot, right foot, feet, feet, feet. How many feet do you meet? Anybody know the author of that? Dr. Seuss, there you go. So let me explain a little bit about each context of these passages regarding feet. Okay? So the last passage we're waiting is David. He's waiting for news of the war. Okay? So there's a war going on between his people and some other nation. And he's waiting to find out who's winning. Can you imagine waiting for that news? Do you know what's going to happen to his people if they don't win the war? They're going to be conquered. They're going to be taken over, slaughtered, slavery, I don't know. So imagine in some sense how important the feet are to the person bringing the news. Right? So let's go back to our Isaiah passage. The Isaiah passage is referring to the good news that his people have been freed from captivity. In this case, they've been slaves. They've been slaves. They've been conquered. And they're actually now getting the news that they are free. Imagine how important those feet are. Imagine being in slavery and then someone bringing you the news, you are free. This is the association. These are passages. If we were to line them up side by side, we've got one dealing with news of the outcome being how the war is going. One is being freed from slavery. And then we have the Romans passage. How beautiful are the feet who bring good news, Romans 10, 15b says. How important our feet are. And the news that we bring is just as life-giving, life-changing as the news in 2 Samuel and Isaiah. Who wins the war? We get to tell people with our feet today, Jesus has won the war. Yeah, the battle goes on, but we know the outcome. We get to tell people today, you don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. Yeah, we'll still have that temptation. We'll still falter. But we don't have to be slaves to sin. There are people in this world, to the left of you, to the right of you, every day, who are slaves to their sin. They don't know a way how to not be slaves to their sin. But they don't have to live as slaves anymore. See, God defines beautiful feet different than we do. Beautiful feet come home tired and even dirty sometimes. But oh, beautiful feet bring the message to a hurt and broken world. You know, Barna Research tells us that Christians today, let's see if I can phrase this right, are 25% less likely to even believe they have a responsibility to share their faith than they did in 1993, like 25, 26 years ago. 25% of us are starting to believe we don't even have a responsibility to share our faith. And I get that. Because here's the culture we live in. We are less open to spiritual discussions than we maybe ever have been. We are sensitive to the idea of offending people, and people can be offended pretty darn easily. Right? So we're having less spiritual conversations. I get it. When it comes to being on the bold scale, not really very high. I get it. I may be a pastor, but I'm not an evangelist. And we fight this inner battle. We don't believe we have a responsibility, or we do believe we have a responsibility, and we just know that we are failing left and right. What are we going to do? Either way, our feet become less and less beautiful when we don't do anything. Let me read the verse again. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Some people won't believe the message. That's not on you. Romans is clear about that. Don't worry about that. But it's also pretty clear we are sent out to deliver the message. Now, I realize this message is scaring some of you to death. What does that mean, Pastor? You know, So I'm going to give you a little model because everybody likes steps and processes. And the danger in steps and processes is that we start to think that it's not, we don't want to be, we don't think we have to be led by the Spirit. And so as I give you a step-by-step process, I want to make sure you critically understand God's going to help you. God's going to lead you if you are open to being led. But let me give you, because this is so daunting to some of us. This is so, like, I wish I'd have stayed home today type of task that we don't want to hear. But the first thing we need to do is, I'm going to use this, it's from the Lutheran Hour Ministries, it's called the Spiritual Conversation Curve. And the good news is, most of you are already doing stage one. There's only three stages. And most of you are already doing one. Hey, you're a third of the way there. Because stage one is, you're just trying to see if they're like super unreceptive. And the first thing you do is you just chat and you relate to them. You know what? We're all human. We all have ups and downs in life. I've had ups and downs in the last, since I got up this morning. We can embrace that. We can relate to that. We don't have to be quick to fix people. Hey, we're human too. I get it. And you build that trust and you build that relationship. That's not hard. Just stop. Care. Chat. Stage two, you're starting to figure out, okay, maybe if they're not unreceptive to building a relationship here or whatever, let me find out if they are kind of receptive by just sharing my faith. I'm not asking them to do anything. I'm not asking them questions. I'm just sharing where I'm at. You don't have to jump to stage three the first time you meet somebody. Here's how you can dip your toe in the water. Okay, let's say you're an impatient person like myself. And maybe during the day and I'm with this other person and I'm thinking, oh, man, I have to wait in line here and I don't want to. And I might just offer up something I might think anyways, but I could say it out loud. Oh, Lord, give me patience. Not in a derogatory, not in a sarcastic way, but, oh, Lord, give me patience. They're hearing you. They're learning that you've got, you have a faith. You got something. You need to make it natural to who you are. Don't use my line, but just whatever you might say and think, say it out loud. It may feel awkward. Maybe for some of you who are extra timid, this is just the baby step you need to take next. Declaring it in some way in your life. Not trying to make a big deal out of it. You're not trying to get a response. Now, if they say to you, oh, you're not one of those Christians, are you? I hate Christians. Well, you may have to work a little slower along the path. Take one day at a time. And then finally, if they see that in your life, you might be at some point ready to explore with them the gospel. You're just trying to find out if they are interested in Jesus for themselves. See, we need to understand the difference between feeling awkward and being pushy. There are some people who are too pushy with Jesus, but most of us are just too timid and too awkward that we won't push through the awkwardness to even throw something out there. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about saying, you know, usually if you ever ask someone to pray, can I pray for you? Usually it's easier to say, be on the receiving end of that than it is actually asking the question. It's not as scary as you might think. Someone says they want to pray for me. I'm like, I'm all in. A lot of people are. It will only take one day, one moment of a success to motivate you to do it again. I want to share a story with you at this point. This author named Don Everts. One day he was on a 13-hour bus ride. After 13 hours of sitting next to a woman he didn't know, he finally worked up the courage to say something to her. So he comes up with this really good opening line. He says, "Hi." Amazing, isn't it? And she replies politely, "Hey." He then replies back with a line he heard when he was traveling in a plane once from somebody. And he thought this would be used just as well in a bus as a plane. He says, "So are you coming or going?" You know, coming back from something, going to something. And after she responds, "I'm not sure," they were off to meaningful conversation. And he kind of felt led and went through all the jumbled of stages here that I mentioned. I'm not going to share the whole conversation, but I want to share you the ending of the conversation. See, Don realizes they were coming to his stop, and he was going to have to get out pretty soon. And he hadn't even asked her name or what she did for a living or vice versa. So they exchanged names, and then he asked him what she did for a living, and she said, "Well, I'm a dancer." And he says, "Oh, like ballet?" "No," she said, "more like exotic." His ignorance only made it worse as he responded, "Oh, like folk dancing?" She responded, "No, more like lap dancing." After a moment of silence, she asked him what he did. And he said, "Oh, he worked at a university." And she responded, "Oh, like a professor." And he said, "No, more like a mentoring person, you know, someone who helps students grow." And she said, "Oh, like a coach." She asked, "Well," he said, "No, more like a pastor." Another moment of silence. Then both of them erupted in laughter. God had brought together this unlikely couple to share stories and struggles and philosophies of life. Don doesn't know what happened to that person after that, but he didn't miss the chance that God had given him to speak truth into her life, to love her unconditionally, regardless of what she did for a living. See, sometimes we get to see the fruit. Sometimes other people get to see the fruit.